we want to share with you tonight. We're going to take a little detour. We've been going through 1 Thessalonians together, but we're going to take a little detour tonight. And we want to share with you just a little bit about, because we want you to know what's going on in the Alliance. And there's a lot going on in the Alliance. And we want to share with you just a little bit about what took place this past week and in Nashville. And so we're so grateful for that opportunity. As you know, every 2 years, the Christian Missionary Alliance, all the Alliance churches, they gather together for what is called annual council. And every 2 years, it takes place in a different location. So this year, it took place in Nashville. Wonderful, wonderful Nashville. And so Chris and Jeannie had the privilege of traveling by car over the meadow and through the woods. Okay? And Pastor Ted said, I can't do that. So anyway, so Pastor Ted and Miss Sue, we traveled by plane. That's a picture of us up in the air. And and then the place was the Gaylord Opryland in Nashville. Very nice place. The schedule, we're going to go through that schedule a little bit, but the schedule didn't really allow any of the delegates to go sightseeing unless you went before the conference or after council, before council or after council. And for us, we didn't really get a chance to do that, but that's okay. But it was at Gaylord Opryland there and in the Resort and Convention Center. Wonderful things about Nashville. There's music, and there's food, and there's beautiful plants. And that's, yes, your pastor with his favorite beverage, a cup of coffee. And you can see behind him, we were trying to find guitars in the Gaylord, all hanging around were different guitars, different shapes of guitars. And so that was one particular one that I liked it because it was there. So anyway, and so there was good food. And one of the things they did, there were so many delegates there. There was over altogether over around 3,000 delegates, but about, I would say 800 of them were online, roughly.
Well, how many people were there? Probably more than 3,000.
More than 3,000.
Of course, we had the hotel. It was bigger than that.
The hotel was big. It was
other groups.
Yeah, it was other groups. It was packed. So what they did was they didn't have enough help because of, you know, we're just coming out of COVID. So they didn't have enough waiters or waitresses. So they opened up the restaurants to do buffets. And so that was one of the buffets. That's chicken and some kielbasa sausage, I think, there.
And there were over 2,000 voting delegates.
But there were over 2,000. Yes, there was
over,
and we'll get to that in a minute. So, but the Monday evening service, I don't know if you can see that real well, but the artist was Cece Winan of the Winans. And so she sang, and they led in worship a little bit. And then the speaker, the first night, the speaker was Walter Kim, who is the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. And so he was there, and so he spoke. One of the things that he spoke about the theme for the week was sacred. And jokingly, I would say, well, I don't know how sacred it's going to be. It might be spicy instead of sacred, because some of you may have heard, well, the Alliance was looking at updating, clarifying, and even looking at some of its doctrinal statements. And they presented 11 of them. And so that might be a little spicy as we go through that. But during the evening, they'd have a worship service. So in the morning, we'd gather around 9:30 for the president's report. And he kind of intermingled worship with his report. And they would share different facets of his report to the council floor. Walter Kim, he spoke on that theme a little bit on sacred. One of the things he said was sacred is not for our ruin, but for our redemption. Thought that was a good. There was 3,183 delegates, and then they had a little bit more than that of official delegates. And so thank the Lord for that. And so Cece brought her thing together, and then during the mornings, President Stumbo, of course, spoke and shared his report. Aaron Schust, who graduated from Tocoa Falls, led the worship with just him on the piano, and he did a great, great job and on that. And then, so there he is. There's Aaron singing Jesus Only, Jesus Ever, Jesus All in All We Sing. There's a happy couple, and we were happy because we were together. We didn't get lost. We didn't have to worry about doing steps because the place was so big. It was about 5 acres inside. And so that was there. In the little corner, you can't really see that. That was one of the pictures that they were presenting the reports about business. And it basically says they were talking about several things. You might have heard before conference council happened that they were going to talk about the statement of faith for the Christian Missionary Alliance, or doctrinal statement, and they were going to talk about the role of women, or actually the licensing of whether we should ordain women or not. And it really came down to a discussion of whether or not we use the word, can the word pastor be used for a woman who has been consecrated? What does that mean? Does that mean they're an elder and so forth and so on? And so a lot of discussion took place there. The Alliance does believe that eldership, as the Bible declares, is male. And it's not sliding. It's just the roles that God has ordained from Scripture, and it's his giftedness. And there's a lot of talk about that. They didn't decide on anything. Per se, that will come back in 2023 on that issue, but they're leaning toward letting the national office will, instead of licensing their workers as they are proposing to license their workers as a licensed worker if you're not ordained, and then if you are ordained or consecrated as a woman in full-time ministry, your license will read ordained and or consecrated minister. And then they'll leave it up to the local church and the district on how they will title that person. So in other words, if there is a woman that is prominent in the church and she's doing children's ministry, and you know, they are called because people today see women in ministry, they may call them pastor or whatever, they might do that. I don't know. So it's still in discussion. So that's where that took place. And then the president reported on his national conversations. Andy Hawkins was the moderator for the week. He's our pastor of our Shell Point Village Church. And great guy, loves the Lord, wore bow ties. And I went up to him and I was kind of teasing him a little bit. I was saying, oh, now does the color of your bow tie, does that tell us what's going to happen during the business meetings? He starts laughing. I said, so like, for example, if you wear a red bow tie, does that mean dangerous? He goes, I'll leave that up to you. He didn't wear a red one at all, but he was able to conduct the business. And so they went through the president's report from committee, and they had a national conversation with all the districts. There are 25 districts of the Christian Missionary Alliance. 41% of the alliance in North America, well, the United States, is of ethnicity. And so we're a diverse group. They were applauding that. And so that was good. But some of the results was relating to their conversation there, that basically the alliance, as they discussed the position that Scripture teaches a male-only model for church elders, the majority of that, they agreed on that. The majority agreed that not all pastors in Alliance churches are elders, because sometimes there is a pastor that's just, you know, just beginning in ministry, and they don't have that spiritual discernment. So 72% agreed to that. And this was just their responses from their conversations. The alliance should limit eldership in the local church to the lead minister and those who are elected or appointed according to their bylaws. The majority agreed there. According to their understanding of Scripture, alliance national policy gives women appropriate leadership that, or not enough leadership or too much leadership. So that was kind of split, 50%. And either there. Then they went through all the titles and really working through that. And then the statement on the ordination, I feel that granting differing titles for consecration and ordination process is appropriate for the alliance. And 26% said yes, 61% said no, 13% said undecided. And then they went through, while retaining our male eldership lead minister model, I'm open to qualified women being given titles such as pastor or reverend and perhaps others as linguistically and culturally appropriate. And 67% said yes, 24% said no, undecided said 9%. And then they went into the doctrinal statement. And it is interesting that really that doctrinal statement for the alliance came up on Thursday, didn't it?
Last day, Thursday.
And I don't know if that was by design or by God's design, but basically they ran out of time to cover all 11 doctrinal statements. And of course you have wordsmiths that come in and they want to change the words, you know. And I'll just remember one gentleman came up and he had about a 5-page paper on trying to define filling in the Spirit versus being filled with the Spirit. And you get some of that in business like that. And that wasn't even a major issue. So they did pass, out of the 11, they passed, I believe, is it six?
There were really 10.
Yeah, there's 10, but they're splitting
one.
Was, yeah. Right.
With no opportunity to amend the issue. Enough, because in a 2,000-person room with 800 online, if you were to amend it, zero would have gotten up. It would have been a total mess. So
yeah, that.
Most of the room thought, this is great. They just voted up or voted down. And if you voted down, it goes back to the old wording, Okay? So...
Right.
Well, that discussion lasted an hour and a half.
Yes.
That discussion lasted an hour and a half. So then when we got into the issues, most of them were really pretty good. Some, there were some that people didn't like, and it didn't take too long. Some did. But like Ted said, there were people that would go up with a novel written to started flipping pages and talking. So finally somebody got smart, because one guy got up and said, we're only here for number 11. We're only here for number 11. We don't really care about the rest of these. Can we jump to that? And the rules committee said, yeah, the only way you can jump to that is to have 2/3 vote through two councils change the rule. So you can't jump to it.
Yes, we weren't able to. And number 11.
So then some other wise guy. Let me rephrase that.
Some other delegate.
Wise man got up and said, can we limit time? I propose that we limit everybody to 3 minutes of discussion. Yes, you're allowed to do that. The whole room has to agree.
Right.
We voted, that came in, so they started limiting people to
three minutes.
So it got to, time was running out, and they said, by laws, we can only add another hour to our discussion time. We voted, we added the hour.
Yeah, you did fine. So number 11, if you're curious, like the main issues that we dealt with was the issue of the rewording of sanctification, because A.B. Simpson said that sanctification is a crisis experience. And the word crisis, they wanted to make clear. That was like number five. That passed, that became clear. Number 11 was what everybody, one guy got up and says, this is what we're all here for, number 11, which was the doctrine of removing the word premillennialism out of our doctrinal statement. So everybody was waiting for that. Well, by the sovereignty of God, they didn't even get to talk about it. They didn't even get brought up. And so my understanding is it goes back to the original wording. That did not get changed. And if they want to do a change, they have to bring again the change in 2023 in Spokane, Washington. And then they'll have to have that go for another two-year discussion. So right now, you know, it is as it is. So we can all say thank you, Lord, for his sovereignty and his goodness. And there really wasn't a divisive spirit at all. There was a sweet spirit throughout the whole week. They did, and you know, but the Lord was good.
Sacred actually worked. It was a very
good scene. It was a good theme. It actually did work. This picture is a picture of my brother Mark, his wife Billy, and his son Kevin, Katie. That's Philip, and William is on the other side of Kevin there. They honored my brother. I just have to brag on him for 50 years of serving in the Christian Missionary Alliance. My older brother, yes. He's my favorite brother, too. He's my only brother. But we're so thankful for him. And so the Lord really worked that out. It was really, really neat. And everybody gave him, you know, they had four couples that were, they were honoring for 50 years. And they, of course, they were really gracious and gave him a standing ovation. I think that really ministered to him and encouraged him. So, and Terry Smith, our vice president, was real kind. He said, real thankful for Mark because Mark mentored me not only the first 2 years of ministry, but he's still mentoring me, whether I like it or not. But he's still mentoring me, so it was good. It was good. Good time there. Andrew Peterson, a worship leader who wrote the song, Is He Worthy? Is He Worthy? And then it's a call and response, and everybody says, He is, He is. He led in worship. Jen Espy spoke one evening. She is the teaching pastor of a church, I believe. Maryland. So she spoke on the Tuesday evening. Then Wednesday, we had the Alliance Worship. They came out with their own worship CD. There's seven songs on there. One of our local pastors in Tampa, Tommy Phelps, got to co-write a worship song with Aaron Schuss, and several other worship leaders from around the country were able to put that together, so that's kind of neat that took place. And then Spencer Sweeting, he spoke on Wednesday night, and he is the pastor. He was so funny. He says, yeah, I was called to be the pastor in Colorado Springs of the Alliance Church, and then the national, as soon as I got to town as pastor, the national office left and moved. He preached on John 15 about abiding, and a couple of his statements I thought were really good. He says, we're to abide in the vine. He says, there's only two options. That is, you're cut down or you're cut back. You're cut down. In other words, if you're not productive, producing fruit, you're cut. You're gone, thrown out. Or if you are producing fruit, you're pruned, right? You're cut back a little bit. And that whole area of abiding. And then he had this statement I thought would be really a good t-shirt, in God for the world. We are in God. We are abiding in him. And if we are, then we can go forth for the world to share the good news of Jesus. He also said the whole Bible for the whole church. So I thought those were good little statements there. So Spencer had that ministry, and so good time there. And then, of course, in the morning, and then the afternoon, they had the worship band of the Alliance play. And then Celine Bauer, who is the assistant field director in France, she spoke. And it was so funny. Sue and I were standing in the coffee line because, you know, Pastor Ted needs his coffee. And Celine was right in front of us. Well, she's my size because she's Vietnamese, but she's in Paris. Anyway, and she looked familiar. And I'm trying to figure out, who is this? Who is she? Well, it's because I saw her picture and so forth, and I couldn't just place it. And then we're starting talking and very pleasant. And then turns around and says, "Oh, yes, I'm speaking tonight." I'm going, "Oh, wow, that's so neat." So then I asked her if she knew Pastor Chuck Hughes, and of course she did. And so it was just really good, but she did a good job on sharing her testimony, how missionaries went into Vietnam and shared the gospel, and how her great-grandfather accepted the Lord, and because of that, she got to know Christ. And so now she and her husband are serving the Lord in Paris, France. So we're so thankful for that. And so here's a picture of the new national office. So what does that mean? It's going to be in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. And it's a former Kmart shopping plaza. That's a suburb of Columbus, right. And so there's a McDonald's there that they're leasing the property to. But if you see the number 5, that's where they're first going to operate out of. That's their temporary office as they build out all that area. And the good news is they bought the property and cash, and it didn't affect the Great Commission Fund at all. So they had the resources to do that. So that was pretty amazing. And it got a couple $1 million grants.
Yes,
2 different grants.
Private donations separate from the Great Commission Fund.
Yep.
They needed $4 million to start to do that. They raised about $5.5 million.
Yeah.
And because they're moving from Colorado to Ohio, the city put them down for a grant. They've been trying to find somebody to put, so they put them down for a grant in the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
Like an Ohio jobs thing.
Ohio jobs grant.
So they've received $1 million from the state of Ohio
For the move.
That's over and above. And then they have a buyer for the national office in Colorado.
Yeah. So they're thankful for that.
Funding is really good here.
Yep. Really, really good there. Really good there. So grateful. And then they're tearing that Kmart down. They're going to redo the whole thing. The next council is in Spokane, Washington in 2023, May 29th to June 1st. So be in prayer if the Lord puts it on your heart for that. We'll see what adventures there. And then I kind of put this up there. This is kind of what they present it in his report, that our identity, we are Christ-centered, Acts 1:8 family, part of our churches. Our mission is to exalt Jesus and to fulfill his great commission. The strategy is serving communities, multiplying churches, networks, developing people, reaching all of, giving all of Jesus for all the world, and doing that. And so we can bring back the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that's what we're planning on doing, and that's part of that. There was an election for the president of the CNMA, and John Stumbo was up for re-election, and then Reverend Dennis Episcopo was running against him, or he was running for president and as well. And so they had the election, and 75% of the delegates voted for John Stumbo, so he was reelected as president, and he starts his new term August 1st for 4 years. So the Lord is working there, and it was a good week. So anyway, so that's it. So there we go. All right.
Do you want to explain the Great Commission Fund? You want to explain that?
You want me to explain it? Okay. So, you probably heard this too. Starting in July, they're going to start the new funding model. Their idea is to make it simple. I'm going to explain it, and it will probably even confuse you more. So, I'll do my best. So, they are basically, there are international workers. They go out as, under access. There are business people who go overseas, and they go out as marketplace ministries. There are relief, our relief arm, our organization to go and help people who are dealing with tragedies such as hurricanes or tsunamis or no water, no food, poverty, refugees. That is comma services. And then there is Envision. Envision is short-term missions, where we've had some of our folks, like Sarah Vincent and Pastor Bartnick's daughter and so forth, they got to go overseas for a couple of years, short-term missions. That's Envision. And Envision had to raise their own support, probably 95% of their support. Comma Services had to raise probably about 85% of their support. Where IWs didn't have to raise any of their support. And so for over the years, they had been trying to, unknownst, I guess, they would raise, outside people would give donations to help support the IWs. So it became very complicated in their giving. So what they decided to do is put all those four areas under Alliance Missions.
So the Great Commission Fund is all together.
It's now, they call it the new Great Commission Fund. New and improved. Okay, so it's all under that umbrella. So if you give to the Great Commission Fund, it will go to those four areas. But as a church, we can also develop now partnerships with our Alliance missionaries, which means that, say, you want to give to Nathan and Liesl Fitzgerald and help support them, because every IW now has to raise their own support, and everybody is going to have to raise their own support up to 45%.
No more than
45, right. But it's a graduate system.
I have a question.
Yes.
I apologize. So if we give on our
yes.
Thing,
yes.
Can we give it to the Great Commission?
Yes.
Should we write a name in it?
You can if you want. And if you
otherwise you're
spread out among four or five. No, well what it will do, it will go wherever the greatest need is for the Great Commission Fund.
No.
But if you want it to go to Nathan and Liesl,
no,
then
yeah,
that's fine. You want to go to Nathan and Liesl, however you want to do that, it can go to that, and it will go right there to them. Nathan and Liesl, in their conversation, they are not able to go out in August as originally intended because the field has been closed because of COVID. They're hoping to go in September, and so that's where they are currently. We're monitoring that. But for their first year, they have to raise, and I don't have the exact, I have the exact figure, but I don't have it in my head right now. It's around $5,700, basically, for the first year they have to raise, and then it increases over the years. So that eventually it will get to that, I guess, that $36,000-$37,000 mark, which is 45% of their support, I think. So anyway, that's something for us to pray about. As a church, as a leadership board, you guys can still give to the Great Commission Fund. Even as a church, we could say, well, hey, I want to give, you know, I want to support Nathan and Liesl fully, 100%, or I want to support them 25%, or whatever. We can do that. We're free to do that. We could even earmark all the Great Commission Fund to them if we so desired. But anyway, you know, a matter of prayer and a matter of allowing the Lord to work in your heart, saying, Lord, where should this go? You can still give to the Great Commission Fund, and it will go to support all the ministries, or you can give individually. And then that will go directly to them.
They so, explained it a little better. Than,
of course it did.
The Great Commission Fund has always been.
Go ahead.
An IM person.
Yeah.
Was supported 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came back on furlough, they toured in churches. And,
right. Right.
For those special funds. Now, everything is in, the accounting's a little easier. And so, say a missionary goes out and they're supposed to raise 45% of their, if they raise 10, they're still going, and they're still getting their full funds. They're just going to be encouraged to find that somewhere. Where other guys, say you got someone who's really good at it,
yeah, but that's
four different groups, and then special funds within each group. The accounting got probably got to be crazy.
Yeah.
That's part of their motivation to
yeah.
clean up the accounting.
And overall, financially, the Alliance is sitting pretty good because of even the COVID, though a lot of churches were shut down. The giving has been strong, so God has been working there. And so we're so thankful, even as our church family, the giving has been good, and we're so grateful for that. So if you want more particulars, you know, I'll be happy to give you the reports or whatever, and they're online. You can go to the Christian Missionary Alliance website and click on that and listen to the services or find the reports and, you know, get in tune and fire questions at me, and I'll say, I don't know, but I'll find out. The answer. All right. But it was a good week. It wasn't divisive in any way. We believe the Spirit of the Lord was there and he was honored and Jesus was exalted and God is up to doing great and mighty things. And so we can thank him for that. And that is good news. So God's at work, isn't he? He's at work because he is working around the world providing resources for our brothers and sisters in Cuba. He's working in our Alliance family so that Christ is all and in all. And so we're grateful for that. We're so thankful for that. We want to encourage you to be in prayer this week. We're going to close in prayer, but as we do, it's a great week this week. We have a great week. So what's so great about it? Well, let me tell you, Friday, we have a young family coming in, Christian and Ashley Sadak. They'll be meeting with our elders and their families and our governing board members and their families. And they'll have a little discussion, powwow, but get a time of fellowship. And we're bringing them in. They've prayed through it. They've met with our search committee for the position of associate pastor. And Christian and Ashley have served as missionaries in China for over 10 years. He was short-term missions director at Palm Beach Atlantic in West Palm Beach. They were worship leaders at the Palms West Alliance Church. And as we've been following them and tracking with them over the years, God has just placed them on my heart over and over again to see if they would be willing to come alongside and partner with us in ministry here in Zephyr Hills. Palms West Alliance heard that they were coming and asked them to be their senior pastor. And he said no. And and the reason is because he felt like he needed to come alongside. And I said, well, I need someone to come alongside. So Lord is orchestrating some things, but we really want the mind of Christ. They're a sweet couple. He just finished his doctorate from Fuller Seminary in cross-cultural missions community. And but they're musical. They're good. He's a good teacher and preacher. They're humble. They're servants. His wife, Ashley, is a delight. She's musical as well. They have two daughters, River and Journey. River is 12. Journey's 10. And they're just a real precious family. We want the very best for them, but we want the very best for us as well. So pray this week that God's will be done. So that's happening Friday night. Saturday morning, they're going to meet with our worship team. And then after that, then they're going to have our time with our young families. And then Sunday morning, we'll introduce them to the congregation. And Sunday night, he'll preach. So that's what we have in store. So God's on the move. So we rejoice in his goodness and his faithfulness and how he's working. So we'll let me close in prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could be together tonight. We just praise you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your sovereignty, how you work and rule and reign. And we pray that you'll even do so more. That Jesus will be exalted in each of our lives and our hearts. That we will make him known as we lean in to know you more. So, Father, I pray that you will help us as a congregation to reflect the fragrance and the beauty of Jesus continually. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our bigger church family, the CNMA. We do pray for Dr. Stumbo as he has been reelected as president, that you will bless him and fill him with your spirit, that you will give him the mind of Christ, that you will guide and direct his steps. And Lord, we'll thank you for that. We pray that you'll continue to move and provide the resources for all of our missionaries overseas, no matter what capacity or role they're in. I pray, Lord, that you will protect them. I pray, Lord, that you'll empower them. I pray, Lord, that you will provide for them and meet their every need, that they may declare the gospel of Jesus fearlessly. Lord, I pray that you'll even instill that in our hearts and that we'll become a bold witness for you. So, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. We also give you the weekend coming. And, Lord, we ask that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we rejoice in your faithfulness. And we thank you for our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. God bless. Amen.